This afternoon's reading is from Isaiah chapter 53. All of it can be found on page 613 of the Church Bible. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bill. This afternoon we come to the last of our studies in Isaiah 53. Over recent Sunday afternoons we've been looking into this glorious chapter, and as we've seen, it answers the most important, the most critical question that we can ever ask. How can a sinner be forgiven fully and reconciled to the holy God, and thus escape eternal hell and enter eternal heaven? There isn't a more important question, and it's answered for us here. Indeed, Isaiah 53 has been described as the fifth gospel, or perhaps it should rather be called the first gospel, which is then followed by Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. In the closing verses, the chapter continues, as it were, to build up to this great crescendo. In verse 10, we see the satisfied Father that leads to verse 11 and the justified sinner. And now, as we take a look this afternoon at verse 12, we have the exalted King. And because of this, we're going to be able to sing at the end of our time together this afternoon these words: there is a higher throne than all this world has known, where faithful ones from every tongue will one day come. Before the Son will stand, made faultless through the Lamb. Believing hearts find promised grace. Salvation comes. May that encourage our hearts this afternoon. Because as the children of God, one day we'll stand before the throne, faultless, because of the Lamb, Jesus. And so there's one more image of the servant before the song here in Isaiah 53 is complete. Weakness turned to strength, dishonor into honor, defeat into victory. The one who was, in verse 3, despised and rejected will take the highest place. As Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Well, as we look at this last verse, verse 12 of Isaiah 53, first of all, let's consider victory won. Victory won. There is no mistaking here in verse 12 as to who the speaker is. It is the voice of God himself. Therefore, I will. Here is the conclusion. Here is the verdict. Here is the outcome. Therefore, I will. And here we see the victory. Here is the image of a battle victorious. The Messiah's glorious work will be rewarded. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. It speaks of the triumphal procession by a victor over the enemy. In ancient times, a triumphant king would return from battle and then would process through the streets, showing off the spoils of war. The spoils of war would reveal the extent of that victory and would reflect the greatness of the victorious king. He would be received by his people amid great pomp and splendor. The victory would be shared. You see, our suffering servant that we see throughout Isaiah 53 is also our glorious king. All that seemed to point to defeat and death has won him the victory and life. Indeed, the sufferings and humiliation Jesus suffers and that we have read about in this chapter only serve to bring him more glory and more majesty. As one writer puts it, he is the monarch with the matchless ministry. And what a ministry. It has caused millions on earth to rejoice, and the corridors of heaven will eternally ring with the praise of it. I love that thought. The corridors of heaven will eternally ring with the praise of it. What a ministry this monarch came for. What does Jesus obtain that expresses his great victory? What is his possession? Surely it is the many whose guilt he bore It is the redeemed of the Lord. A few chapters back in Isaiah 51 and verse 11, we read, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Nobody even notices it seems to be a lot of singing going on around here. What, isn't it great to sing God's praises and to know that one day we will be before that throne singing his praises? Christian, we are the treasure that Jesus has won through his victory. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon, the preacher, says about this. "It is a strange fact that I am going to declare, but it is not less true than strange. According to our text, the extraordinary glories of Christ as Savior have all been earned by his connection with human sin. He has gotten his most illustrious splendor, his brightest jewels, his divinest crowns, out of coming into contact with this poor, fallen race." I remember singing in Sunday school. I was about to say a long time ago, but you know it must be a long time ago. I remember singing in Sunday school the hymn that went like this: when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. It's actually based on a verse in Malachi, Malachi 3 verse 17, where we read these words: "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession." We are his treasured possession, bought at a price that can never be calculated. The most valuable diamond in the world is a 45.52 carat blue stone known as the Hope Diamond. It is about the size of a walnut and weighs around 3 ounces. It is owned by the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C., and is worth $250 million, around 188 million pounds. But you know, that's nothing to the worth of those who Christ makes up as his treasured possession. We sometimes sing, don't we, "My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong." Who does the Messiah divide the spoil with? With the strong, those who are strong, not physically, not in themselves, but in him. Christ gave us everything. As we sung last Sunday afternoon, "What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace." Victory won. But there's something else in this verse. It is victory shared. Victory shared. We can share in the spoil of Jesus' victory. Why? because, as we read here, he poured out his soul to death. Notice that it was Jesus who poured out his very self, his very life. In Mark 10:45, he says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He doesn't do this accidentally. It doesn't just happen to him. It happens by him. The old hymn puts it, "For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus." The idea being poured out in verse 12 here speaks of the totality of Christ's death. Why? Because he was numbered with the sinners as he went to the cross. Jesus could never become a sinner, but he stood with us. In the roll call of sinners, he said, "Put my name down, add me to the number." And then he was nailed to a cross between two criminals. When the Roman governor Pilate gave the people the choice of releasing Jesus or a convicted murderer called Barabbas, it was the murderer who was set free, and the one who had done nothing wrong was the one who was sent to the cross. Repeatedly, we are told that Jesus bore the sin of many. Not his own sin, but ours. "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood." There he is on the cross, interceding for us, taking our place. But his victory is our victory. It doesn't feel like it sometimes. Sometimes, let's be honest, we just feel totally defeated. Guilt overwhelms us. Circumstances overtake us. Weakness engulfs us. Christian, look at 2 Corinthians 2:14, where Paul says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Paul struggled at times. He suffered much. He talked about sometimes feeling like a prisoner of war at the end of the victor's parade, dragged through the city for all to see. But the victory is in Christ. All the spoils that Christ won at the cross, all the redeemed of the ages, will be part of a communion of fellowship everlasting that will enrich our lives. But let us return to that triumphal procession that glorifies the King. Because reading on in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 15, Paul says, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." You see, we are living testimonies of Christ's victory through what seem the trials, what seem the temporary defeats. Nevertheless, we are those living testimonies. Reveals, doesn't it, how important it is for us to live our lives in the way that speaks well of Christ and trusts in him. that fragrance of life. To put it like this, maybe, am I smelling for Christ? Do people see something that is beyond value? Am I willing to tell them what it is? Robert Moyer writes, Isaiah 53 pictures the sufferings of the Savior for sinners, but in the end, it shows multitudes born to him through those sufferings, multitudes who share his life, who show forth his death, who proclaim his praises, who are arrayed in his righteousness, who are his delight. You see, Isaiah 53 is a chapter that starts with unbelief. It closes with the justified sinner and the exalted Christ. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God, in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ, I live. What a gospel. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave, he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. What a victory. What a future, what a prospect that we have still to look forward to because of the victory won by Jesus at the cross. That victory which is shared, that we are to live in that light of that victory, having put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that whatever happens in this world, in our lives, that we are safe, we are his. His treasured possession, his jewels. And one day to know that we will sing that song of gladness before the throne together. That song of praise, that song of victory, that song of life.